I want you to look at the title of tonight's sermon. What do you think it's all about? The story Paul almost never revealed. Let's skip the text. If you're back there, let's go to slide number four. If you go to slide number four, let me just ask you a question. Have you ever had a hidden story that you didn't tell anybody? And all of a sudden, circumstances developed, and you had to say to them, I never meant to say this, but I need to tell you about this. Sometimes it's not that it's something bad that has happened. Sometimes it's just something that just happened to you, and it's just something that, and now they find themselves in that circumstances, and so you try to say, well, let me tell you what, I've had that similar situation. And you tell a story that's been hidden. Are you aware that Paul had a hidden story? And we ought to be thankful that Paul himself had one of those stories that he never would have told had there not been circumstances that came into his life which caused him to reveal some things that we never would have known. Wonder what story that is. We know so much of the life of Paul, do we not? Much of his life, we know probably more events in his life than we do in the life of Jesus. If you'll stop and think about it, we only know in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's account, we only know three of the things that are, pardon me, we only know 30 days of the life of Jesus. We know a lot more than that day's about the life of Paul. And yet, the story that we're talking about tonight is not one that is found in the book of Acts, though the last half of Acts tells us so much, and other books of the Bible tell us things about the life of Paul that we never would have understood. So in tonight's lesson, we will reveal this story and draw some lessons from it. What story is there that we never would have known about Paul had not circumstances developed that caused him to write 2 Corinthians? If you'll think about it, if you'll open your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be in chapters 11 and 12 tonight, because he writes this letter to the church at Corinth. And it's in this letter to the church at Corinth where we learn of Paul's close association with the beginning of the church in Corinth. In Acts chapter 18, Paul, on that second missionary journey, goes down to the city of Corinth. He's just been at Athens. You remember the sermon on Mars Hill? He goes down to Corinth, and the Bible indicates that when he got down to Corinth, that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. I find it interesting, as I read that in Acts chapter 18, Paul says to, or the Lord says to Paul, Paul, don't be afraid, for I have many people in this city. For there were some really bad times that were coming, and the Lord had to tell Paul, now, Paul, don't you be afraid. And sometimes there are times, situations get in our lives, we're just fearful. I don't mean we don't have any faith. We just don't know what the future holds. And that's Paul. Paul is just as human as we are. He's not a super Christian. He's just an individual like us. And so the Lord, knowing what's about to happen there in Corinth, for the whole city is going to get in turmoil, and they're going to arrest Paul, try to arrest Paul and bring him before the governor of that area and try to bring persecution on him. But on that second missionary journey, He comes to Corinth in Acts chapter 18, and there he preaches the word of God to them. He gets to Corinth, and it's on that second missionary journey, and then on his third missionary journey, before he writes two letters before he makes that third journey. So let's get the picture. Paul has gone to Corinth. He's established the church in Corinth, Acts chapter 18. He leaves there. He goes back to Antioch of Syria. And then from Antioch of Syria, he goes on a second missionary journey. This time he goes to places God would not let him go on that first missionary journey. He wanted on that second missionary journey, he wanted to go down to Asia, where Ephesus was such a vital city. But the Lord said, no, you cannot go there. So he goes up to Troas. Ultimately, he goes up there. But on that third journey, he goes back to Ephesus, or goes to Ephesus, and there he spends 3 years. It's during this period of time, on that third journey, that Paul writes 2 Corinthians. Now, what's happened? Well, on that second journey, we know that he had told them about the contribution. You may recall that when you get to 2 Corinthians, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, now concerning the collection of the saints, you have no need that I should write and tell you. He'd already talked to them about it. And so now he's writing them. He writes 1 Corinthians. He has not arrived at Corinth on that third journey. Got to understand, second journey, he goes up gets that Macedonian call. He goes over into Turkey. He comes down into Greece. And when he arrives down in that land, in Greece, he received, he establishes the church down in that city. And it's critical to put that. Now then, some things have happened in Corinth. That church had some real, real problems. You stop and think about in Corinth, there was the man who had taken his father's wife. You remember those who were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, you know, I'm of Christ, I'm of, you know, I am of Apollos. That church had really lots and lots of problems. But there were some other teachers that are there that are not mentioned when we talk about the many teachers that were there, like Paul and Peter and Apollos. There were some other individuals there. And they were individuals who mocked Paul's apostleship. And a major tactic that they was used by some of those false teachers is, as you look at it, it gives us insight into what was happening. And it's those circumstances about these other teachers that were denying his apostleship that causes Paul to tell this story. They were denying his apostleship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks about the fact that I am an apostle. He said, I have a right to be an apostle. I have a right to come there and to be an apostle. And he said, if I'm not an apostle in the fullest sense, you're denying whether I'm an apostle. I am an apostle for you. Why? Because he was the apostle that brought the gospel there. He was the messenger sent by God. How shall they preach except they be sent? And in the absolute sense, Paul had been sent to Corinth to preach the message. He was a messenger. He was one who was sent. But even more than that, when he arrived there, he had the ability to lay his hands on those individuals in Corinth. And so when he writes 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says in verse 12, he says, truly the signs of an apostle were done among you. The apostles could do one thing that there were others who had miraculous gifts could never do. And that is, he could lay his hands on individuals and give them the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, I am an apostle. And you saw the sign that I was an apostle when I laid hands on you and you received the Holy Spirit. There's a parallel over in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul's apostleship is in dispute over in Galatia. His apostleship was in dispute so many times he has to defend his apostleship. And he says, did you receive the Spirit because you heard someone that tried to build your faith in Jesus Christ? Or did you receive the Spirit from someone who was trying to get you to be Jewish? The signs of an apostle were abundantly present in Corinth. In fact, he was 18 months in Corinth altogether. And when he writes 1 Corinthians 12, he says, I have given the Holy Spirit to everyone among you. He says, is not the Spirit given to each one? There was the absolute evidence that Paul was an apostle, but there were some individuals whose major tactic was to deny his apostleship. And so that gets us to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's look at some of these false teachers that were there at Corinth and to see how Paul addresses them and how Paul describes them. What's the issue at Corinth? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 shows that they denied his apostleship. He has to defend that, but he says in verse 5, I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostle. Why would he say that? Because there were those individuals that were there that saying, Paul is not a messenger from God. There were these false teachers. We are the messengers from God. He says, I want you to understand, I am not inferior. Now you start reading in verse 6, and you'll understand why they denied his apostleship, and it was because Paul would not take monies when he was preaching there. What does that tell you about the activities of these false teachers? Were they there saying, we are apostles, and we're going to see that in just a minute. We're going to see these false teachers saying, Paul was not an apostle, we are apostles. And if you want proof that we are apostles, you need to understand, when we got there and preached to you, we asked you to give money. And when Paul was here, he knows he's not an apostle, and so he does not ask money of you. You know what Paul does? We don't have time to read all of the verses between verse 5 and verse 11. He says, you know why I didn't receive support? I did not receive support because I did not want to be a burden to anybody there. But they're saying, you're not an apostle. And he says, I am an apostle. I truly am an apostle, even though I did not ask money of you. Why did he not do it? Lest any should say that we were preaching for money. I chose not to do it. But that was the tactic that these individuals used to explain. Now, look at verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. He says in relationship, in relationship to them, but what I do, I also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. I could boast that I am an apostle. But there are these false teachers who wish they could boast. And they are boasting of the fact that we are apostles. And Paul's not one. What are they boasting about? They're boasting about the fact that I am more Jewish than you are. Now you think about the text that was read tonight. Are they Hebrews? Who's the they? These false teachers. These individuals, and they were Judaizing false teachers. They were Jewish, and yet they were there trying to get money from the church at Corinth and saying, we are an apostle, but you don't need to listen to Paul when he's saying you do not need the Old Testament. We are truly the apostles. We have been sent. We are those who have been sent by God, and the message that we have is you need to be circumcised. Paul says to them, says, they're boasting about the things of which they have no right to boast. But he says, I want you to know I'm not inferior to any of them. They boasted that they were real apostles and boasted that they were truly Jews, and they had credentials to show this. That's what verse 12 says. They were boasting. We're Jewish. Now, Paul may be Jewish. And so in that text that was read tonight, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Let me show you, and you know this text from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the one that was read tonight, of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes. And then he begins to list all of the things that he had suffered. What about these false teachers? They hadn't suffered anything. And so Paul says, if you want to see if I am an apostle, then look at my life. And he begins talking about some of these things that had happened to him. Go back to chapter 11. Go back to chapter 11. And you'll see when he says of the Jews five times, look in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak like a fool. I am in labors more abundant. I'm in stripes above measure. In prison more frequently and in deaths often. And that's when he says five times from the Jews I received these 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Then he says, once I was stoned. We know that from the book of Acts. Three times I was shipwrecked at night. We know nothing about this in the life of Paul. Oh, but he was shipwrecked in the book of Acts. Yeah, but that's after he writes this letter. That's when he was shipwrecked, is after he's already completed all three missionary journeys. But Paul says, you know, a day and a night I have spent in the deep. Let me tell you what I have suffered. In journeys more often, and then he talks about the perils everywhere that he goes, in perils among the Gentiles, in perils in the city. Everywhere I go, I am in perils. And add to that, the care of all the churches. What about these false teachers? What are they interested in? They're interested in having a following and to get that money, and they are boasting that they are apostles. I want you to look especially and pay attention to verse 30 when he says, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities. I will not boast of these things. But I had to tell you, I had to remind you of some things, and I am about to reveal to you something that I have not revealed to anyone. But he goes on to say, after this, he says in verse 12, about chapter 12, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. Paul, you've just spent, you know, 8 verses back there in chapter 11 talking about all that you've suffered. He said, I didn't do it to boast. They boast about the fact they're Hebrews. They're boasting about the fact that they're Israelites. They're boasting about their labors. And he said, you want to compare my labors to their labors? I will not boast of these things. I will only boast of the things. But let me come to visions and to revelations of the gospel. Look down in verse 10 to see the things that are stated in this chapter. In verse 10, he says, "As the truth of that's back in chapter 11, as the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Galatia." You know what I'm boasting about? I did not take any money. I'm not a preacher for money. I could be an apostle, and as I am apostle, I have a right to be supported, but I didn't do it. And they turned Paul's action and they said, he's not an apostle. He knows he's not an apostle. He didn't even ask money of you. And Paul says, wait a minute. Let's compare all that I've suffered to compare to what they've suffered. And that's why the text says, in labors more often. Let's compare this. Paul, tell us about your life. Tell us about what you've suffered as an apostle. And that's when he begins to list all of these things. But he said, but there's something else that I know. And I want to tell you about this individual that I add even above all of this. But before we look at that, I want you to look back at how these individuals are described. Look in chapter 11, verse 13, where he says, such are false apostles. Who's that? These Judaizing teachers, those that he's discussed in chapter 11 who were denying Paul's apostleship and said he didn't ask wages of you. You know, Paul says, you know what they are? They are false apostles. They are, chapter 11, verse 13, they are deceitful workers. And they transform themselves to appear as though they are apostles of Christ. Paul, be honest. Tell us about these individuals that are there creating such a problem in Corinth. Because you see, if Paul's not an apostle, then, and they are the true apostles, then what they're saying, you've got to live by Judaism. Paul's wrong when he would say you do not have to live by Judaism. And so the tactic they used was to deny his apostleship. And you know how the Holy Spirit, they are false apostles. They're liars. They are deceitful. They are deceitful workers, but that's not what they look like. They present themselves, they transform themselves to say, we are the true apostles. And Paul says, compare my sufferings to theirs. Now then, let's talk about the matters that I have, not just as he mentions in chapter 12, verse 12, the laying on of hands, the signs of an apostle. Let's talk about the visions that I know about. And he says, I know a man. Well, wait a minute. Let's go back to chapter 11. They are like Satan who presents himself as an angel of light. Go back to chapter 11. This is critical. Look in verse 14. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. These men are saying they are apostles, but that shouldn't overly surprise you. Even Satan himself tries to appear to be an angel of light. And then he says, and it is no wonder that these individuals would do that very thing. Look in verse 15. It is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, who transform themselves and to be ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. These false teachers, we are apostles, we're not deceitful, we're being real honest. And Paul says, you are false apostles, you are deceitful workers, and you are ministers of Satan, who've transformed yourself to appear as messengers of God. So Paul says in chapter 11, okay, let's look at it. And that's why in chapter 11 he gives the first evidence. We've heard those verses, and sometimes we can quote them. But look in chapter 12 now to the story Paul would never have told had this situation not developed. He says, I know a man. What do you know about that man? I know a man who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows how such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I do not know. God knows. He was caught up into paradise. And he heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for man to utter. Paul, who is this man? In context, Paul's saying, let me tell you of a man I know. It's the man that has suffered all of these things, and he has an abundance of revelation. He's got so many revelations that were given to him, it's not lawful for him to even tell what they were. And so when he says, I know a man, he takes himself almost out of the picture, but he says, but of that man I will not boast. Of such a man I could boast, but I will not boast. I want to talk about myself, and I want to talk about my infirmities. They're talking about how great and how honest they are. Paul says, let me tell you something. I am an apostle. I have done all of these things. I've laid my hands on you. Truly the signs of an apostle were done among you. But let me tell you one other thing. I am one who knows about a man, whether it was only his soul or whether it was his body, that was taken up into the third heaven. Where's that? Well, the first heaven's where the birds fly. Second heaven is where the stars are. Paul says, I know a man who went up into the third heaven, but I'm not going to boast about it. He could not boast of it unless it were true, but he says, I am not going to boast about that man. Wow. Paul tells us when this happened. It happened 14 years prior to the time he wrote this book. This happened 14 years prior to the time that he wrote this book. That's remarkable, isn't it? It happened 14 years. Where was Paul 14 years before he writes 2 Corinthians? He has not even made his first missionary journey. We know the life of Paul. He becomes a Christian in Damascus. He goes to Arabia. Find this in the book of Acts. From Arabia, he comes back to Tarsus. And he's sitting over there in Tarsus. And Barnabas needs some help. So Barnabas comes from Antioch and gets Paul from Tarsus and brings him back over to Antioch. And Paul says, that's the period of my life when it happened. He's an apostle. From the time that the Lord appointed him to be an apostle, but he's not a visible apostle. And Paul says, I was taken up into the third heaven, and I know some things that were told me there that it's not lawful for me to tell, implying I am that man. Wow. Wonder what he heard. And anybody who tells you they know what he heard is not really speaking the truth. But he says, lest I should be exalted above measures, something was given unto me. I was given a thorn in the flesh. Do you want to know how we know Paul was that man? Because he says, for though I might desire to boast, I'm not going to boast in this. Look in verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Why? Because I know a man who went up into the third heaven, and I might be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. I have revelations. I have an abundance of revelation. And lest I should be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelations. What abundant revelation do you have, Paul? What abundant revelation do I have? I know things that I'm not even allowed to tell. But I could be puffed up. I could be puffed up because I'm not one whit behind the chiefest apostles. I could boast about my life and tell you all that I've done. But you read this carefully, and he's apologetic. You force me to tell you this. What on earth could keep him humble because of the abundance of revelation? Lest I should be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelations given to me. Paul, how much revelation do you get? More than anybody on this earth that I know of. I can't even tell you what I know. But I went into the paradise. That's the word he uses in verse 5, isn't it? To the paradise, and there I was told things, and I can't even tell you what they are. But I could boast about that. I could be puffed up. Now, here are the false teachers. We are apostles. We are the greatest. We're truly apostles. And Paul says, wait a minute. You're going to force me to tell you and to brag about myself. But after I brag about myself, I'm going to say, I do not boast about these things. After he talks about all the things that had happened back in chapter 11, look again at verse 30, when he says, if I must boast, I'm not boasting about all that I've done, but I will boast in my infirmities. And that's the exact same language that he used in chapter 12. Whenever he says, I could boast about this, but I will not boast. Why? Lest I should be exalted above measure, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh. What's this thorn in the flesh? Will you let Paul define the thorn in the flesh? We read the Bible so rapidly that somebody comes along and said, well, he had bad eyesight. We read the Bible so rapidly that we say, Paul had appendicitis. I remember hearing one individual verbalizing, that's what he thought the thorn in the flesh was. Will you let Paul tell you what this thorn in the flesh is? There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Some way, the thorn of the flesh is described as a messenger of Satan who buffeted him. And if you think that it's bad eyesight, how many people do you know that wear glasses that are humbled? And they're humbled because they have to wear glasses. You know anybody wearing glasses right now that you think, I sure wish he were humble? Whether you wear glasses or not doesn't have anything to do with you boasting. And yet, Paul was given a messenger of Satan to keep him humble. What on earth could that be? Well, it may be that we may have to say at the end of this, I don't know. But can I contextually show you what that messenger of Satan might be? Go back to chapter 11. In chapter 11, Paul says, for such, this is verse 13, they are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness. Satan tries to appear an angel of light. And he says these false apostles are coming as ministers, and they are transforming themselves into being true teachers. They are ministers serving Satan. Wait a minute. Does ministers of Satan and messengers of Satan carry pretty much the same concept? How were they ministering to Satan? Chapter 11 says they were ministering to Satan, denying Paul's apostleship. They were transforming themselves as true apostles. We are the ministers of light. And he says, you are not. You're lying. You're deceitful workers. You are from the devil. You are a messenger of Satan. You are a minister of Satan whenever you're denying my apostleship. Now then, is it possible, and that's all I'm asking, that instead of Paul's thorn in the flesh being having bad eyesight or having appendicitis, that the thorn in the flesh were these ministers of Satan who everywhere Paul went, read the book of Acts, everywhere Paul goes, there are those individuals who say, you are not a messenger of God. He goes into the synagogues, he tries to preach the message of God, and he's met over and over and over again by individuals saying, oh no, you're not a messenger of God. And Paul, in letter after letter, as you read the New Testament, look how many times in the epistles Paul has to defend his apostleship. Everywhere he goes, there are these Judaizing teachers trying to say, you must be circumcised, you must be circumcised. And Paul says, that keeps you humble. You're not even an apostle. We are the true messengers of God. We are the true ministers of God. And he says, you are messengers of Satan. You're ministers of Satan. What would keep you humble? Everywhere you go, to deny your apostleship. And all of his life, he had to defend his apostleship. The one thing that he had above anybody else, even going up into the third heaven. Ministers of Satan said, "You're not even an apostle." And the argumentation was, the proof you're not a minister of God is you didn't demand your support. So what's it look like? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12 describes the situation in Corinth. Not those who saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas," but some other false teachers there who were denying Paul's apostleship. What were they? "You're lying, you're deceitful." And Paul says, "Let me prove to you I am an apostle. Measure my life and my labors up against the lives and labors of these false apostles." And then in the crowning events, when he says, when he gets to chapter 12, he says, "Let me tell you something else. I know a man who went up into the third heavens, and he knows things he himself is not allowed to tell." Isn't that remarkable? Everywhere he went, he had a thorn in his side. Now, if you look at that in the Old Testament, the expression "thorn in the side" in the book of Judges, chapter 2, is used to describe these nations that were about them. They were beings. They were Gentile nations. And they, people, are called thorns in the sides of the Jews. And Paul said, "I've got a thorn in my flesh. I've got a thorn in my side. Messenger of Satan that buffets me. Wearing eyeglasses does not buffet you. Having appendicitis does not buffet you. But the denial of your apostleship is a buffeting for Satan, messenger of Satan, there, because it would keep you from boasting about the abundance of revelations you've received." It may be that whenever we say nobody knows for sure what that messenger of Satan is, but I encourage you to study this and put chapters 11 and chapter 12 in a context. Ministers of Satan appearing as angels of light, ministers of light, buffeted Paul in Corinth. That much I know. And now he, everywhere he goes, people won't even listen to him at the other. They said, "You're not really an apostle. You're talking about something that would keep you humble." It's like a young preacher being told, "You'll never make a preacher." It's that same kind of thing. And what young preacher is there who has not had that kind of an experience in their life? You may make it someday, but you're not there yet. And that's what they were saying to Paul. Study it, think about it, and be content not to go beyond that which is written, but at least as you try to study and figure out what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, you keep it in the context of those ministers of Satan who were denying his apostleship. Let's get to this invitation song, and if you need to obey the gospel tonight, if you want to become a child of God, you have a destiny in your life. What's your story? Don't you tell me about what you used to be. Let me tell you the story you ought to tell. "I am a child of God because I have believed in Him. I have repented of my sins. I've confessed my faith, and I've been baptized. And I know I'm a child of God." Paul, do you know you're a child of God? Yes. Why? Because that's what he did. And the Holy Spirit had told him that's what he needed to do. And Paul said, "And that's what I've done. The Holy Spirit tells me what I must do to be saved. and the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit. One spirit, the Holy Spirit, this is what you must do. Paul's spirit, it says, I've done what the Holy Spirit told me to do. The Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit, Romans chapter 8, that we are children of God. With the Holy Spirit, affirm that you are a child of God, not unless you've done what the Holy Spirit's told you to do. If you need to respond to this invitation in any way, won't you let it know, be known how we can help you by coming to the front as together we stand and sing.